And we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of the Beyond Retro podcast. I'm Tyler Baker, and with me, as always, the table is completely filled out with Mr. Kennedy and the Rotten Amato himself, Joe Amato. We ready to begin the first? Well, damn it! I thought I had a great opener for that. But I was going to say, you guys begin the Kumite in today's episode.
Heck yeah! I see, you got your shirt on, so you got some fighting representing there. I see your Bloodsport poster in the background. So yep. This episode.
Yeah, I thought it set up a more proper this for this episode, since this is one of the many movie posters I do own from one of the films we talked about so far. Yes, so I'll try to do that with any episode that we do that I've got a movie poster for, like Double Impact. I've got that over there. The Rambo films, I've got those over here. You know, so
you're all set. Definitely. Is that a shirt you got for Christmas by chance? That Street Fighter shirt?
Yeah, Nathan got this for me.
Oh, he did? That's a freaking awesome shirt. Where'd you find that, Nathan?
Yeah. Started to reject it. I can't do it because it's against my born again release due to the Book of Amato.
There you go.
Take it, shut up your ass.
Right. No, but where did you find that, Nathan?
He's really feisty today. I found it at FYE.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And where did you find your shirt? Because I see you got a Skeletor shirt you're representing.
Oh yeah, it's FYE as well. Super 7, they have a few select Super 7 items. They had like an end cap in the store. I was like, oh, shit, look at this.
Okay, looks like we're all, it came Christmas time. Everybody got a shirt, and I'll represent mine. My sister found this. I had no clue. I didn't even expect nothing like this. She found this Freddy and Jason T-shirt at Walmart, and it's a Christmas-themed one. It's all original art. I was just cracking up that they did something like this because usually, sometimes when you see merchandise based off of movies, they'll just have, the same, stock photos that they use a million times and they put a Christmas hat on or something. But no, it's like Freddy's got a Christmas present down there. And Jason, I thought this was cool as hell. So yeah, my sister got me this for Christmas then.
I mean, that's really cool. It's just a shame that it's like the Freddy and Jason from.
Oh, well, they probably had to do it because, they figured it was the movie, so that's why they did it.
You can defend yourself. You're the Freddy versus Jason fan on this podcast, and that's what you're wearing, so you can defend it. Me and Nathan will come, it'll be like a handicap match.
Hey, no problem. I mean, hell, would I have loved to seen if they could have put a Kane Hodder from Part 7 on it? Oh, sure, that would have been awesome, but I can understand whatever artist did this was doing the context of the movie. It was a surprise. I didn't know anything like this existed, so might have a Christmas tree, Christmas present, but this is something I could wear year round. I told her, I'm going to be honest, I said, I'll probably wear it 2-3 times. I said, then I'm just going to store it with my other shirts. I said, where the art looks so good, I don't want to wreck it.
That's what I mean.
What were you saying, Tyler?
God, we're just all these moments of silence here. This is killing me.
No, there's a delay, and then there was an echo. There's a delay and an echo that was happening, so that's what was causing that weird silence, as we didn't know when somebody else was talking. But I heard an echo, but I think it went away, so hopefully we're good now.
All right, as I'm talking right now, am I coming through clear to you guys? Yes. Okay, all right.
Yeah. All right. I mean, there's like a hint of lag on my end, but like you started to say something, I think I started to say something, and then like you stopped to let me talk, and then it like I saw you, and you're just sitting there like this. I was like, oh.
And we go through this damn it, man, I can't talk either. Nothing's working here tonight.
Well, somebody in the chat room was asking Nathan. It's SSJ Mitz is saying, "What's up with the beanie?" So, what's up with the beanie, Nathan? You got it.
Oh. What's up with the beanie is it's cold outside, and I got a haircut last week, and I'm kind of not a fan of it. I feel like it's too short, so I'm just going to wear hats.
He's rocking the hair to
I feel like gross some more. What was that, Tyler?
I said Nathan's rocking the hairdo that he wore when I met him back in 10th grade. He's wearing, like, the really short hairdo. All he's missing is, like, a real shiny shirt from Gadzooks, like a button-up shiny shirt from Gadzooks.
Yeah, with, like, dragons on the back?
Yeah.
Man, what a terrible time that was.
Used to wear some of those shirts, too.
I think I still have those shirts somewhere, but no, I mean, if people want to see, like, there you go. It's just, it's, I don't know, it's too short for me. People tell me that it looks fine. I'm just like, no, let me put my hat back on. Oh, God.
You know, what's weird is we're always our own worst critics. Like, we sit there and we'll see something on ourselves like, man, I don't like how that looks, and it looks so weird. And you walk somewhere and a stranger won't even have a clue what's going on. They're not looking like, hey, man, that don't look right. And usually even your family and friends don't even judge. But, yeah, we can always be our own worst critics to judge something that's going on with our hair or something, whatever.
Yeah, I'll just have to start wearing masks every episode from here on out.
Oh, see, yeah, exactly. I'm my own critic. That's why I got this on all the time. But hey, one day you never know. Maybe I'll pop the sucker off. But
here we go.
What's that, T-Rex?
So you're admitting that you're doing that to hide your face, so to speak?
Pretty much. It's yeah, exactly. See, I'm my own worst critic. Not only with things I do on customs, but with my own face, yes. So that's why this mask is always gonna be on. So I won't have the luxury of just popping off like how Nathan's like, hey, check out my hair. It's different. No, this is just gonna stay right on.
Now, when you posted a picture a while back with you wearing a Meteor T-shirt, did anybody come out and say, wow, man, Joe's, you know, one, you know, ugly troll?
Was I maskless in that picture?
You were maskless in that picture. I will never forget it. You were wearing sunglasses in the picture, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I always disguise it one way. Sometimes I have a hat, sometimes I have sunglasses, sometimes I'm covering the lower mouth. At no point did somebody see the entire face, hair, eyes, all that. It's always been something layered where it's been disguised.
Kayfabe, man. You got to keep the gimmick alive.
Exactly. You got to get it. It's just like when Rey Mysterio, when he unmasked, I mean, everyone's, oh my God, he's unmasked, unmasked. And then it went for a while, and then he put the mask back on, tries to forget that the unmasking never happened.
I mean, I would too, because that whole No Limit Soldier stable and all that shit was pretty bad. So, I mean, it makes sense. I would, too, if I were him.
There you go. But, well, T-Rex, we got a topic today of a movie that, man, when it came out, I mean, you go ahead and start it off, but I'll just run my thoughts and things. I mean, we all will, but go ahead. Why don't you start us off, what we're going to talk about?
We're talking about the greatest martial arts movie of all time, in my personal opinion. I'm not into Hong Kong cinema. I'm not into crazy flying fists, flying kicks, Jackie Chan films and all that stuff. I never have been. I've given a shot. I'm not into it. I like watching Jean-Claude Van Damme. And Bloodsport was the first Van Damme film I ever saw, and still to this day remains to be my absolute favorite. It's a movie I know just as well as the live-action He-Man movie, Predator, Jaws, Batman, Ghostbusters. I can quote it to death. It's a movie that me and my dad have been quoting with each other since I was a child. and still do it to this day. Still quote that movie to each other. So it's a tour de force, at least in my family, this movie.
But is it a Christmas film?
There you go. There you go.
Really, Bloodsport is a film of all seasons. It works on 4th of July. It works on New Year's Eve. It works on Easter Sunday. It works on Valentine's Day. I mean, it works every holiday. So
no, we're just trying to figure out if there might have been like one scene in the background where maybe there was like a Santa Claus decoration somewhere just appearing.
I can think of two scenes. I could give one to Nathan, one to Joe, and shove it up both of y'all's asses. You know.
No, but
no, this is not the traditional Christmas movie. However, I can make it so, you know.
He could make it. But no, I mean, it was all about the martial art movies when I was growing up, because, I mean, I did like all the cinema from, you know, China. I like the Bruce Lee, the Jackie Chan, all the kind of movies you could
see. But Van Damme's always going to be. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, all those kind of movies. I mean, it was just, God, that just where I grew up. And I'm sure we're almost everywhere. I mean, just everybody was into it at that time. And, when this movie came out, yeah, it started everybody, like, you know, mimicking parts of the movies, acting like they could do something, you know, doing the dim mock, you know, doing the death touch and the, you know, just all the imitating motions and scenes. And, I mean, it's something as simple as the part where you remember where Van Damme sat there and did the coin switch, you know, with the guy, you know. Me and my cousin were obsessed with that. I mean, obsessed with that so much to where we were practicing each other. Like, we would take a coin and we'd put it between our fingers here, and we were trying to find a way of popping it down and grabbing the other, and we started perfecting it. And we were doing that with some of our friends, and he was making bets with his buddies and stuff and doing freaky stuff and then saying, all right, take a look at that date. I just want you to see that. I'm going to be able to snatch this out your hand. And the guy's like, yeah, it sure as shit. We was able to perfect it. When he did it, looked at the date, it was a different date. Guy, oh, man. It's so many things in that damn movie. Like I said, from the coin trick to just the kicks, the punch, the helicopter kicks. I mean, it was just too much. Like I said, we'll get into all sorts of different parts, but, man, it's, you know, we're not going to do the debate of it could be another episode, but I just remember was when Bloodsport came out, and then a little bit later, maybe a few months later, here comes Seagal with
I'm going to sell the debate right now. Van Damme's better.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, that's the thing. And then here comes Above the Law months later with Steven Seagal. Holy Jesus, in school. Oh, my God. That's all it ever was. Who you think could win? Because it always used to be Bruce Lee, you know, fighting this person, this person, this person. All of a sudden, it was just Van Damme, Seagal. Who you think could win? And some people were saying, man, Van Damme's so big and strong. Oh, he just knocks Seagal out. And they're like, yeah, but Seagal, he knows that Aikido. He was just grabbing him and snapping him. And, oh, man, I just, those debates, and they went on for years. From the entire time I was in junior high, probably through high school, that's all I heard were the debates of Van Damme versus Seagal. And, oh, man, that would be another show. But, no, this is one hell of a movie. But go ahead, Nathan, you can talk about your first impressions. But, damn, this is just, it's a great movie.
I'll start off with two things. One, I would go Van Damme over Seagal, like, easily, just to settle that end of it. The second thing Tyler said for him personally, that's like his greatest martial arts movie, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, my pick would be Enter the Dragon, but that's just me.
Enter the Dragon would be in my top three, but Bloodsport, because of,
yeah,
I had a bigger impact on me than Enter the Dragon. Even Enter the Dragon, if we didn't have that film, we wouldn't have Mortal Kombat, we wouldn't have probably a bunch of other tournament films like Bloodsport.
Yeah, I'm trying to think the first Van Damme movie I actually watched, because Van Damme was in a heavy rotation at the video store. It was around that time, like every weekend it seemed like we were renting either a Van Damme movie or a Seagal movie at the time. I want to say Kickboxer was probably my first Van Damme.
Second one, Kickboxer.
And then we started like working our way kind of around that. And I was thinking about it too. There's actually a movie that Roger Corman did called Blood Fist. And oddly enough, is more like Kickboxer than Bloodsport. So it's kind of a weird bit of oddity. You would think they would have named... they would have had something similar to Bloodsport. But anyway... I'm kind of losing my train of thought.
Did you just have a Tyler? Where the hell was I at the Leslie Nielsen moment?
Yeah.
Are you hearing some back audio? I think it just went away, but I was hearing back audio. Sorry about that. I don't know where that came from. But this movie, you know, it's a story of, you know, this kid. He's with some of his buddies. They break into somebody's house, they're going to steal a sword, and the kids run out, and Van Damme probably second-guessing it, wants to put the sword power, you know, back where it belongs, and this young little kid, you know, starts fighting them, and then, of course, Van Damme goes on to train with, like, he's basically, through a deal with the parents, going to become, like, the sparring partner for this young boy, but eventually then he's, after, I think, the son, he died, correct, Tyler? I forgot, was it in a war that he died, or what happened to the son?
It's never said. When I watched it as a kid, I took it as, like, that Shingo was killed in the Kumite. And I always like to think that it was Chong Li that killed him.
Okay.
The Kumite's every 5 years. So I took it as that when Shingo was killed, Van Damme takes up the mantle for the next 5 years to train with Shidoshi. And to honor him by competing in the Kumite. At least that's what I always put in my head. Like, I'm sure there's some sort of behind the scenes story.
That could be interesting. I like that. I like that way of thinking of it. But yeah, he wants to learn. He wants to be trained now, but you know, he's not Tanaka. But he wants to, just like you said, and honor him. And he's learning all the techniques of the family. And, you know, learning, of course, as you know, there's always foreshadowing, you know, something's going to come up, you know, the part where he's doing the blindfold of setting the table and everything and to set and relax. and he's, as everything's calm, and then, of course, you know, bam, you know, his Shidoshi, you know, he sits there and he tries to attack him, you know, Van Damme catches it. I like the impressed looks, you know, of, you know, the mother there, and of course the father over there, but I like that what he wants to do to honor, and of course then his sensei is eventually, you know, sick, you know, and you figure, yes, he's going to die sometime. He wants to, you know, honor him, enter, you know, the tournament, and hopefully win for his, you know, Shidoshi, for, you know, the Tanaka clan, which eventually, you know, as you see when they start getting there, you know, they say, like, you know, he says he represents the Tanaka. You know, he doesn't look Tanaka. And then one guy says, who cares if Bruce Springsteen, you know, is a Shidoshi? Or, like, you know, he doesn't even care. But when he does, that's the other thing. I know you guys always, you had to have, you know, martial arts friends like me. And everybody in there, you know, around the neighborhood was always trying to do that dim mock. It was so cool, you know, when he's like, you know, the bottom one, when he's ready to smash that top one. I mean, it was so damn cool to see that in the movie, you know, when he's, and then boom, that bottom brick shattered. We all tried, not, of course, not a single one of us could do it. We're stacking bricks. They're falling over. The top one might crack a little. Man, the things movies make you try to do, because it's so damn cool, all the things that are happening in this movie. Like I said, as we're talking, we'll be thinking of probably tons of different things with our minds spinning, but go ahead, Tyler, spin
that
it back to you.
That was an incoherent description of Bloodsport I've ever heard.
Was it? That's what I mean. It's just so many things.
You were all over the place.
I love it. My brain explodes.
You, like, you pass over Ray Jackson.
I was going to get back to him. With me, my head exploded.
Jumping all over the place. It was just like there was no time to breathe with that. Like, Joe, we got all the time in the world to discuss this.
I can't help it. I get excited about this because I start thinking of all the stuff that, like I said, we did growing up. So when I knew we were going to talk about this, I knew my mind's just going to be hopping everywhere because I'm going to think of moments, but then I'll think part of the films. I'm thinking about things I did. It's just, there's too many things that happened in this damn movie that were good. So, yeah, I'll take a breather, and Tyler, you go ahead because I know I'm going to start.
Oddly enough, when we saw this on TBS on a Sunday, and my dad and brother and myself had just got done wrestling in our room, and we turned on the TV, and we caught it on the second day of the Kumite. And that's where I saw Van Damme in action. I've seen that guy in the video store. Because I had seen his films, and I just had never rented him before. I'm like, I recognize that guy.
And wait, hold on. Real quick. Bloodsport, the first time you've seen it was on TBS?
Yeah.
Oh, strange. Okay.
Now, why is that strange?
Well, because it's just weird. You said you've seen, like, a lot of his movies, like, in the video store or something else. So,
like I said, I was renting Arnold, Stallone, and Chuck Norris films. I had not yet been introduced to any of the martial arts stuff. This is, like, 1992, I think.
Oh, so you've seen plenty of his movies in the store, yeah, but never rented. Yeah. Oh,
I had seen Kickboxer, Cyborg, Bloodsport, and I think Death Warrant, and others in the video store to rent, and they caught my attention. I just had never rented them before.
Okay.
So when I saw it on TV, I thought, wait, I know that guy, and I didn't know his name. I just, you know, I was trying to, like, okay, I've seen him in the video store, and after we saw that, I told Dad, because we had our guys' weekend coming up, I said, I want you to rent that one movie that where he's got the guy with the mustache behind him. I was trying to describe Tom Poe. He doesn't have a mustache, but I thought the blood on his face with the mustache. So my dad goes to the video store and can't find Kickboxers, so he ends up renting Problem Child.
Problem Child, wow, what a difference.
And I was like, this isn't the Van Damme. He's like, well, I couldn't find the one you were talking about. So we went back that weekend, and I got Kickboxer. But it was all because of Bloodsport. So anyway, this was something that I associate this movie with. This, Predator, Rambo, the missing action films as a kid. Like, when you're, as a child, you're watching these action movies, and you're, it's like the Santa Claus effect. You're seeing, you know, Arnold, you're seeing Van Damme in this film breaking a brick, you know, four bricks up. You're seeing him do all these crazy splits and breaking a bamboo stand from the strength of, like, doing a split and pulling himself back together. And you're seeing Ray Jackson break a brick with his head, and, you know, Chong Li's breaking the guy's kneecap or his leg. You know, it's just all this stuff you're seeing. Gosh, this is what real tough guys do. You know, it's like you're believing that these guys could do all this stuff. Even though I'm watching it as a movie, I'm seeing it only as, you know, this is the ultimate badass. This is this Rambo and Predator, you know, Dutch and Van Damme and Bloodsport, Kickboxer. It was, it was just like, it was just everything you could aspire to be as a young boy. Like, you just, you know, it was all about these tough guys. And Van Damme, God, when he came along, it was a long, long stretch of me and my brother just going through the catalog of films and then going to see, you know, his movies at the theater, like Street Fighter and Double Team, which unfortunately was the more kind of downward spiral of Van Damme's career. But still, it was still a blast to see him regardless. But it all starts with Bloodsport. I mean, Dad used to mimic Chong Li when he would wrestle with us. He would grab a hold of our arms and hold it down, and he would do like the waving taunt, like telling you, no, don't cheer yet, don't cheer yet. He would do that with me and my brother a whole lot. He would quote Hassan, you know, show you some trick or two. He still does that to this day, you know, just when we start to wrestle, he would say that. And I mean, it was just so much fun, that movie. It was renting it a lot. If it was on TV, we'd watch it. It was just, I remember buying it at Kmart with my allowance, Bloodsport, you know. And for some reason, too, as much as we had rented this movie and watched it, I remember one occasion my mom took me to the video store and I told her I wanted to rent Bloodsport. She's like, I don't know, Tyler. I think that movie's so violent. And I talked her into letting me rent it. But then I got to where all I had to point out was, hey, Mom, you know Van Damme shows his butt in this movie. She shut up. And
oh, jeez.
Because, like, we rented Universal Soldier, and I said, hey, Mom, his butt's coming up. And she would come in the living room and watch the butt scene. And then she would leave. But she had no problem. It's like, just, you know, don't repeat the cuss words and fast forward through all the sex scenes, and you guys can watch it.
That's crazy. Well, first, I want to say hello to JSP in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. So, see, you're right, because, you know, in that movie, it's not really much of a love interest as a...
Oh, Leah, Erica, boy, she's hot as hell. Do you guys think
she is
super hot?
Well, that's the thing. Of course, I wanted to see her nude. Like, when I knew, oh, God, they were in the bed, I was like, here we go. I was like, we didn't see nothing her. And then, like you said,
there's like beating cheeks about Leah Aries. Hell, I can too, man. Well, that's all really?
What's that mean? I was like, oh, giddy. But then we end up seeing Van Damme's butt. I was like, oh, Jesus, there we go. That's what I don't need to see. I never liked seeing the action stars that were in any of my movies. Of course you don't. Like, goddamn. Like, I don't want to see that. Like, show the women. Don't be showing him. You know, it's uncomfortable. But no, I mean, she was hot, but she's a reporter that, yeah, she was covering, you know, the Kumite. She wanted to find out about all this underground stuff, but it's not, obviously, it's underground, so it's not open to the press, but she finds her way of sneaking in with, like, one of those guys, and she's all, like, made up real nice and everything. So, she wants to get her way into it, but, no, like you said, you got Ray Jackson. I mean, this movie is, like, loaded with, for me, when I first started seeing all the people that were popping up, to me, it's cameos that were into different roles, so I'm like, wait a second. That's Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, you know, when I first seen Ray Jackson. And, of course, when you see one of the federal agents, I was like, wait a second, that's Jefferson from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the big football player. You know, you immediately are just connecting people with people. But Ray Jackson, like, when he has his fights, he's just the big, brawling American. You wouldn't even want to call him a wrestler. He's just a big, big American brawler, big, tough guy. And he wants Chong Li, and, you know, Chong Li wants him too. Like, you know, after he beats that one, he's like, yeah, guy, I want you. Yeah, you know, you're next. I'm going to kill you, man. But that's like, when they fought, when they had their match, I don't know if you guys ever had that, but I've had it so many times where I watch a movie where I know what the ending is going to be, or I know the outcome, but I could watch this thing 100 times and keep thinking, damn, I hope it's different. Like I know Ray is going to get beat up by Chong Li, and I keep thinking, oh, man, keep hitting him, just like Van Damme said, because, you know, he thinks, I got him. And I'm like, oh, man, you know he's going to lose. But you keep hoping, can you beat him? You could have beat him. You had him down, but then you had to, like, gloat and say, yeah, Jackson, and he lost. I always hated that part. Like I said, I don't know about you guys, but I always wished the outcomes would change.
That scene was always, like, even watching it last night, I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, you think, like, the way that they shot that part at the end, and he's, like, yelling and everything, and, like, Jackson's dead. And then the next scene, he's in the hospital. I kind of wonder if there was a thing where they did, like, a test screening for it, and it was actually, like, yeah, he's dead, and people are like, no, he's, like, one of the best characters in the film, he's got to stay alive, and they went around that, because it just seemed really... strange to me, because to me in that scene it looks like he's dead, he's gone. I don't know, What do you think?
I've never thought of that, just because they got the two sequences where he's in the hospital. They say he's going to be okay, and of course the end. But that would have been interesting had they gone back, and because I know Van Damme re-edited the film because they apparently it was a complete disaster, and I don't know if that may have been something that they decided to go back and add that in, because he is such a likable character in the film. You don't want to. It makes his death impactful if that were the case, because these guys don't know each other that long within the movie, but you buy into their friendship immediately, bonding over Karate Champ, the arcade game.
Yeah.
It's extremely when you watch it, even as a kid, like, oh, dude, oh, man, he's going to get it. He's going to get it, man. No, no, no. And then Chong Li just comes in and kicks his ass. And that's what makes Bolo such a great villain in this movie. They don't have Van Damme and Bolo have not one scene together in this film until they face off. It's just a matter of editing the stares that they're staring at each other. And they do such a great job of building up this tension. Like when Bolo comes in, his first fight sets a new record. Van Damme steps up, he sets the new record. And then you see the look on everyone's faces, including Bolo's, like his eyes are kind of wide, just kind of stops thinking, like, holy shit, where did this guy come from? And throughout the next couple of days, like they show these shots of Bolo, like he's observing Van Damme, like just like, okay, this guy's pretty good. Just setting up this constant, like, I got to beat this guy. And even though you know it's going to come down to them, but they do such a great job of building up this rivalry between the two, and they don't have one scene together until the very end. And, God, it's so – it's very effective filmmaking.
Well, I mean, it also helps, too, with Chong Li that, he's just so calm through all of this process, too. There's no – he's only aggressive when he's fighting. And that's when he's cocky, is when he's fighting. But all the other times, he's just, like you said, he's just sitting there observing, absorbing, learning, like, what he needs to watch for. I wish, in a way, that, like, maybe Kickboxer had sort of been taking some more elements from that. I mean, it makes more sense in that context of the story. But it was just a refresher when you go, at least for me, when I go back and watch all those other films, that just, like, he is that different kind of villain. It's not about, like, I have to do, like, terrible, awful things. It's like, no, he's going to get to the finals because he knows that that's probably where he's going to – that's the only way he's going to be able to meet him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a really cool, different take. And it's man, I'm just not good with words today. I'm sitting there, my brain's like
– But you're saying there, too, there's a moment – to touch on what Nathan said too, like when Ray comes in and breaks the guy's nose, the guy looks like my Aunt Cindy because of the hairdo. When he points at Chong Li, he says, "I'm gonna kill you, man." And Chong Li just kind of does this, like, kind of this nod and like a nervous smile in him, and just kind of looks back like, Jesus.
Yeah, it's kind of like a
nice nod that Chong, like, I guess too, because I'm sure given everyone knows who Chong Li is there, and this guy from America comes in, points at the current champ and says, "I'm going to kill you." Not something you're probably expecting to see. So it's just simple moments like that make the characters in this film just stand out so much more when they're not given a whole lot of time to develop who they are, because it's not really about their backstory. It's about this tournament of various fighters and who's cool and who's not, who's going to lose. And
Bolo did a fantastic job, because so many things can be said with facial expressions and just body, language compared to words, because obviously he didn't have many spoken words and his English probably wouldn't have been that amazing to begin with, but you didn't need that. It was like you said, when he said, "I'll kill you, man." Yeah, you got it. And then Bolo has that kind of cocky smile and then does this like serious look like, okay, now you pissed me off. It's different because he is such a level, not of arrogance, but of confidence, because every time you see him, like when he's ready to start,
Dude, you can't watch him in this movie and not think that Chong Li for one second is not, especially when he wins. Like, I mean, clearly he is, he's cocky.
But the thing is, the way he portrays, like you said, with when he's getting ready to fight or the looks he makes, it's this confident, like, you're not going to beat me. Like, when he goes into the fights and does his blowing his nose to the side to side, and then he has this walk.
My dad, I was like, look at him blowing style over the map. What's the matter with him?
Yeah, I always thought I was sick, but he had the walk that everybody, again, when I was growing up in school, people liked doing. It's like he was the epitome of a badass that you liked but of course you'd love to hate, but you like seeing like how he walked with not even swinging his arms back and forth. It was just kind of like this, it was almost like a Jason Voorhees. It was just this straight up walking at you. Like he's a juggernaut coming right at you. And then, you know, then he'll go into his motions, but just every little bit, every detail, everything he does, it's a confidence thing. Even after he gets hit and, you know, like tastes a little blood or look and he's like, uh-huh. And then he gets up and he does what he has to do. I mean, Bowl just did a bad, I mean, I even like his like in a way, lack of respect of anything that doesn't pertain to him. Like when he kills that guy, you know, towards the end in the Kumite. And they all stand up and they have to do that paying their respects. And then he's looking, holding his hands up and then just, you know, waves it off like, oh, fuck this. Like, he doesn't even care. He has no respect for anything. He's here to win and he doesn't care about anything else. If somebody died, that's just another day at the office. It's nothing to him. It's life is meaningless. Only thing that, you know, matters to him is staying undefeated and being the champion of that Kumite.
That and maintaining like that he's the alpha male regardless. Like it's like it come off as more personal that Van Damme broke his record, because the rest of the movie the Van Damme has set the bar for the rest of the Kumite. No one else breaks the record. Not a new record is set during that entire Kumite. So he's going through the remainder of these fights just knowing that some guys already beat me. So you almost feel like that's an extra level of intensity to get him to the end. Like this guy has made me look bad his first day here, and I have yet to best him until he goes through and beats Ray and takes the Harley Davidson do-rag and wears it as extra insult to injury on his knee. I mean, it was just...
Hell yeah!
Shooting that shot, you know, and then pointing his thumb at it. You break my record, now I break you like I break your friend.
Exactly.
It's simple. It's not silly dialogue. And I've seen this post on various websites. Bolo is not quoting Bruce Lee lines from Enter the Dragon here.
About, you know, bricks don't hit back, like how Bruce Lee says, board don't hit back.
Boards don't hit back. And this, he says, very good, but brick not hit back. That's maybe a nod, but some people will say that all of Bolo's lines, which are only maybe three, are Bruce Lee quotes. I see that on various websites and stuff. Like, people, get your damn facts straight.
No, you're right. It's just like you said. If anything, yes, it could be an homage, but it's not like he's ripping him off. I'm sure, yes, he was in Enter the Dragon with Bruce Lee, but yeah, I know what you mean, because everybody who has said that, yeah, you know, like, Boris, don't hit back, and then, you know, Brick, don't hit back. But yeah, you're right. It's an homage, if anything, but it's not like he's ripping it off.
So loosely tossed around, like, all of Bolo's lines are pulled from Enter the Dragon, because, you know, that's everything that, you know, Bruce Lee said, you know, I break you like I break your friend, Roper. You know, it's... just stuff like that pisses me.
And that's why Tyler hates, you know, some certain movies. Like, dang it, you know, yes, I like Enter the Dragon, but damn it, I hate it just because of those lines.
No, I got a problem with the fanboys who want to sit there and say this stuff is fact and put it on various websites and say that, you know, Enter the Dragon is a masterpiece of martial arts cinema. I mean, it is from beginning. I can't wait till we do that. Doing an Enter the Dragon discussion is going to be absolutely just be a field day.
Yeah, I want to hit that one off. Oh, good Lord, the memories of that. Two quick things. JSP asked if we've ever watched any Jackie Chan or Sammo Hung movies. Yes, I have. I watched plenty. Those will be other topics when we get to that. Hell, we even get to Sammo Hung had a TV series a little bit back. And, you know, I mean, he beat you with an eraser. He beat you with anything. But, of course, that show was, you know, it didn't last really long. But he had a good TV show. And Charles Pelham, he says he can't wait to get off work tonight. He says, I'm totally watching the movie. So, yeah, see, that's what I mean. It's like, that's why we love doing these podcasts, is because we start talking about something and just hope it just spurs your interest to go back and just martial law. Yeah, JSP, thanks. I had an absolute brain. My mind shut down because it's been so. Yeah, JSP said martial law. It's so long since I've seen it. And I remember, I think Arsenio Hall was in it. And then I think, I don't know if when martial law, when it got canceled or before it got canceled, like. Arsenio was mocking the TV show, like when he wasn't in it no more, or when it was off the air. He was like, yeah, well, think about it, you know, when the main character is named The One. If JSP, you'll have to correct me if I'm right on that. I thought like the main character that they were going to eventually encounter in martial law was called The One, I think. And I thought Arsenio Hall made some little mocking joke about it, but I love that damn TV show. Didn't mean to get sidetracked, but no, I mean, it wasn't sidetracked, you know, he brought it up. So yeah, we'll talk about Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, Bruce Lee. And yes, we're going to do some Seagal, because I got to talk about Above the Law one of these times. Damn, talk about another movie, get you pumped. But I don't know, where the hell was I? I just had my Leslie Nielsen moment. I got so excited, I didn't even know what I was doing. So I'm going to pass it back to Nathan. Go ahead, Nathan, you go, because I escaped everything I was saying.
After I finished watching it last night, I was looking through some various things on the internet, just, you know, different articles, the reviews that people had posted. And I kind of feel like there are two different groups of how people look at this movie. There's the group like us that like kind of, you know, grew up with this stuff, watched it, like love it still to this day. Well, I guess three groups, because you would have another group that would watch it and just be like, oh, this is like cheesy or corny and hate it. And then you also have that other group that I don't want to say they watch it ironically, but they probably pick up more on some of the cheesier aspects that some people tend to gloss over a little bit. I don't know if there's any parts in this movie that you guys feel are cheesy at all.
One part, I was gonna say, there's just one part in the whole movie I didn't like, and maybe you, I mean, Tyler might love it, it might add to it, but the reason I like it, I just didn't like the music for the scene. It's the part when Van Damme is running from the federal agents through the city, and they had this goofy, corny
that song when he was a kid. He thought that was a great song.
I hated that song. I was like, God, it doesn't fit this fucking movie. And he's standing there, and then he goes here, and then he jumps over here. I was like, every time that part would come on, I would leave the room. And if I ever had my, you know, VHS tape in at the time, I remember just went fast forward. I was like, blah, 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 past it. I hate that part. So yeah, that's my cheesy part of the whole movie, is that damn scene, him running from the federal agents.
Yeah, that. Tyler, do you have anything? I know you're kind of sitting there thinking. Well, no, why do you think on it?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, Joe's talking about the music. Could we, like the music in it, especially some of the stuff they play during the montages?
Oh, because
there's, like...
Oh, the music is badass, man. It gets me pumped.
Oh, yeah. I like when they're doing the fight, the montages for the fighting scenes. That does get y'all going, especially...
Fight to Survive. Like, the song Survive by Stan Bush. I mean, I listened to that in the gym. God, I mean, that's an energy blaster right there.
Just to think of all the other, you know, beyond the main fight, you know, fighters, I mean, but there's all the other fighters. I mean, you got the Muay Thai fighter, you got the monkey fighter, you got that big, big ass guy that's like a sumo wrestler, but not a sumo wrestler in the context that you think. He's just a big juggernaut of a man, you know. I love those fights. I like the part when Van Damme had that, you know, kicking contest with the Muay Thai fighter. Van Damme even invited him. Yeah, he sat there, he's like, come on. And he kicks him. It's like, damn, I remember as a kid, your family, the kick. It's like, I got so into that damn scene. I felt so bad for when the one guy was doing the monkey style, you know, kung fu, and jumps up at the big, giant, you know, wrestler guy and then tries to chop him, and then he just sits there and breaks his back. Van Damme has the fight with a big, you know, giant fighter, too. And he's giving him a lot. And the big guy's taking it, you know, and then Van Damme finally hits him with the death touch into the stomach. And then you see him, you know, fight it off. And Van Damme had that look like, oh, shit. That's what I was like, because Van Damme's like, I don't know what to do. I'm giving this guy everything. And then when he comes and runs at him, that's when Van Damme does the splits and does the shot right into the nuts. And then just tips him over. And again, of course, kids around school were imitating half of those moves too. But I always liked that fight. That was kind of all the fights besides the fight where Van Damme fights, you know, Chong Li at the end. I did like the fight with Van Damme with the big guy, because it was just, you like seeing the guy wonder, what the hell am I going to have to do next to take this guy out? Because Van Damme is a strong man, but he's hitting a guy that looks like a damn house, you know? He's built thick, strong. It's like, what can I do to this guy? But finally, the nut shot took him out, but oh man, so much shit. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's like, obviously, if people go and watch that movie now, they're like, oh, the creators of Mortal Kombat must have really loved this movie too.
And I'm sure that was.
They did, because yeah. Van Damme was supposed to be involved in their first game, which would become Mortal Kombat, who Johnny Cage is based
on. There you go.
And also from research I've checked over years, and I feel pretty confident it's probably true too, that he was supposed to be in Mortal Kombat but bowed out because he was not the star. And, you know, because Street Fighter came out before Mortal Kombat, and Mortal Kombat got like slightly delayed a few months before it was released too. So you kind of feel like, I'm not sure which one went into production first, but it would make sense that he was asked to be in Mortal Kombat to play Johnny Cage, but then bowed out because Street Fighter was kind of written more centralized around Guile as opposed to making Ken and Ryu the stars of that film.
Yeah, that's what got me. I mean, that'll be another side rant someday about, you know, video games to movies, because when Mortal Kombat got turned into a movie, that was a damn good-ass movie. That first Mortal Kombat movie was great. I wasn't a fan of the other Mortal Kombat movies. I'm not saying they're bad. Yeah, not saying they're bad, but...
No, you do not have to apologize.
I just like the first Mortal Kombat movie. But then when it came to Street Fighter, which I just love that damn game, when it came to the movie, dear God, did I hate the movie. I was like, this movie is nothing like the game. I hate it. I hate where it's going, the whole direction, who the person that's supposed to be the main person, where's this guy? That's another thing. I hate Street Fighter the movie. God, and then they turned Street Fighter the movie into Street Fighter movie, the game, which I hated even more than the damn movie, but that's a whole nother podcast. But, I don't even want to think of that. I watched it once. I watched it one time. I was like, that's it. I'm never watching this again. I was like, I love Van Damme, but I hate this damn movie. So, there you go.
To go back and touch on what Nathan said, too, about the score.
He's just like, fuck that. I ain't going to listen to you. I mean, you're talking about that because Tyler's all worked up. That'll be for another podcast.
I'm completely lost here. Who's laughing at what and what happened?
He's like, where the hell was I? No, it's just like, no, I tell you. No, go ahead.
I'm laughing because Joe went on the video game movies thing, and you're just sitting there like just kind of staring off, and you're like, "All right, got to bring this back on track."
Yeah.
Because I was gonna jump in and say like, you know, when I saw both of those movies in theaters as a kid, like, loved Mortal Kombat, and for me, like, I was more into Street Fighter over Mortal Kombat when it came to the game. So with the movies, it was just a complete role reversal. Like, loved Mortal Kombat, and then Street Fighter, when it was over, I was like,
thank God.
It was good, but it wasn't like Mortal Kombat. So.
Damn, Nathan, you said the exact things that I was thinking of as a kid, too. Street Fighter was my game. I love Mortal Kombat, the game, but when it came to movies, it was role reversal. So, yeah. Good man. But go ahead, Tyler. We'll get you back on topic. Sorry about that, man.
Now, when you guys keep throwing stuff out about Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, I feel like, you know, you're just like poking prod at me to get Joe jump in here and, you know, give my two cents. And then the next thing you know, our whole Bloodsport discussion's dead and buried.
You know, we're back to Bloodsport right now. Get back to Bloodsport. Go ahead.
I still want to come back and discuss that. but anyway, to touch on the score too, like Paul Herzog's score for the film too, like the music for the training montage and the second day of the Kumite. I mean, all the music that was not, you know, vocal, you know, all the Stan Bush stuff, you know, I mean, all the, like, just a lot of the kind of, like the opening score, like when you see the shots and kind of get a feel of Hong Kong, like the overhead, like the shot over the ocean and the city and everything like that. And the music that plays when they're going down, which I was trying to think where I go or where I have been that made me think of this. But when Ray and Frank go and meet the USA,
that poor
and they
guy.
Go down that long, scariest corridor. And I mean, and I'm just thinking, like, where the hell is this? Like, as a kid, I just found it to be so mesmerizing,
creepy,
but scary at the same time. Because
yeah,
the music and the visual of, like, they're just, it's just scary dark corridors with all these like poor destitute people hanging around back there, and
mm-hmm.
just kept going and going, and there's a shot when Ray looks up and you see just how far up this stuff, I mean, the buildings go, and just like, God, man, this really is underground. And and all that music, you know, Paul's music just helps sell just the ferocity and the mystery of this movie that's built up, this secret competition. I mean, the music that goes throughout this whole movie helps tell the story. You know,
that was a creepy part when they went into, like you said, the underground area. But just, yeah, to go from, you know, like you said, you bring up the OK USA guy. I always love that guy because I remember laughing so much.
quotes that. Anybody who's a fan of Bloodsport knows all you do is say, okay, USA, everybody just lights up. Every guy that watched that film has lights up.
God, I'd hope that guy would have still been alive. I mean, I know he was pretty damn old probably when he did that part. I don't know if he...
podcast. Well, we'll see if we can't find him.
But man, I tell you, talk about somebody that should be getting stuff from, you know, gifs and memes or pictures or whatever. Because I remember when I'd see it and, like I said, I had on tape. I had sick guilty pleasures of certain things. That was one. I would just rewind because he looks so damn excited because after you hear the okay USA and turns around, it's like, I had to rewind. And you can see him. It's like he's almost getting ready because, you know, this is his only line in the whole damn movie. And he's probably been training and, you know, trying to memorize that damn line this whole time. And he finally looks it up with such confidence. He says, okay. It's just that poor guy. I felt so bad for him. I was like, why am I getting such a sick pleasure out of watching this?
I love that dude. Rewind that sequence too, because you just weren't expecting this very stern looking Asian guy to come out with this really deep, which some of the people in this movie are clearly dubbed, but this guy, I feel like that probably was like his real voice.
It was. Hey, that's what I mean. It's like he had to memorize that line. You know, he probably
couldn't speak any English, but probably could say, okay, USA.
That's what I meant. That's what I figured. So he had to memorize this one, you know, line of dialogue in English. And he was probably thinking, okay, it's almost time. And then he finally lets it out. He kind of has a smile like, I did it. It's like,
That would be if the Oscars had nominated that guy for Best Supporting Actor.
We need t-shirts for him.
Clip, you know, the Asian back alley guy from Bloodsport, and then they showed the clip of him looking him over and go, okay, USA. I'm like, how awesome would that would be for them to show that clip at the Oscars?
There you go. Like I said, we should have t-shirts of that guy. But damn,
he's on t-shirt. One of our listeners from Fans of Power sent me a button of him of that guy with okay, USA written on there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, sure. He told me not to mention his name. He was trying to be humble and kind of hidden. Cool. But if he's a big Bloodsport fan, so if he's listening to this, he knows who he is, and I thank him again. I meant to wear it on tonight's podcast, but I forgot to grab it before we recorded.
Well, just go grab it now and put it on.
Yeah, you know what?
Joe and I can talk about video games for a second, and you can get up and go get your button.
Well, there he's gone. He's gone like a fart in the wind. I knew we'd
finally, now we can talk about video games. No, it's kind of surprising, too, that when you think about it, that this – it didn't get turned into a video game at some point just based off of the subject matter, you know?
No, I mean, yeah, I know we had, I don't know when Pit Fighter came out. I think that would have been 1990 or 91. I don't know if that would have had inspiration from any of these movies. Cause as you know, I mean, once you had Bloodsport and then, you know, Kickboxer, and then there was just, it's like they were spawning out a lot of different, even B rated movies where there was a lot of underground fighting. That was like the hot thing. I mean, hell, when you think of like maybe the topics of, I mean, or at least storylines of a lot of the Van Damme movies. I mean, even Lionheart, underground kind of fighting in a way. So I don't know if Pit Fighter would have been inspired, but that used that kind of digitized look like how Mortal Kombat did. Pit Fighter just had a stranger flow of it, though. It wasn't, you know, just side to side. You're kind of moving up and down. You're grabbing money and objects. And did you ever play Pit Fighter? Because that was it was rough to play.
Yeah, no, I remember liking it a little bit in arcades as a kid, but when it came out on home console and I rented it, and I was like, eh. And then a few years later when Tyler and I started hanging out, we went to this mom and pop video store and they were still renting out Super Nintendo games. And this was like 2004. Oh, yeah, no, I thought it was a little bit later than that.
Okay, because yeah, you're right. That's right, yeah.
And we rented it, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, man, this game is trash. Like, it was horrible. It was just really, really, like, the controls were clunky, and graphically, it just looked god-awful.
Yeah, you try to make the best of what you got sometimes. I remember when I bought it, I mean, it was rough. I tried to get into it and enjoy it because I spent my $50 on it. It was still kind of rough. But, yeah, like I said, I think that, yeah, maybe that was inspired, obviously, from a lot of the movies that we were just, you know, discussing, a lot of the underground movies. Obviously, it had to be, you would think. But go ahead, Tyler. You got to talk.
So did you find that button?
No, it's not where I thought it was at. I could keep looking for it, but otherwise
no.
Put me behind there. So I'll try to get that on the next Van Damme episode we do.
Oh, no, that's fine. But, yeah, so we go through, like I said, all them different, fights you've seen through the entire movie, and then we finally do get to the climactic battle between, you know, Frank Dukes and Chong Li. And Van Damme is he's besting him most of the time. Chong Li's getting his shit in too, don't get me wrong. But eventually, you've seen before the fight started, he had a little thing that he put, you know, like in his belt area.
That he puts down his pants.
Exactly. And, well, Chong Li, I think he knew he was getting his ass handed to him. And he had to do the dirty thing. He ground it up and he threw that right into Van Damme's eyes, which, you know, created him to, you know, be kind of blinded, blurred, couldn't really see what's going on. Chong Li's obviously getting the best of him now. Knocks him down to where he goes towards the middle of the whole area where they're fighting. And you just see the utter frustration because Van Damme can't see what the hell's going on. He just, you know, like hits the mat and just screams. And that's when he then goes to his eyes and does that classic, you know, everybody's imitated that. And then he starts thinking back of his training and, of course, doing stuff. And then parts where he was blindfolded. And, of course, then, yeah, then when Chong Li tries to hit him, he catches it and he starts fighting without really seeing what the hell is going on. Chong Li tries to do that sucker move by throwing, you know, the referee towards him, but, you know, he feels the gi, he knows what's going on, puts him in back of him. And then you're just treated to a lot of cool kicks, but then came the trademark helicopter kicks, or kicks that everybody loves seeing from Van Damme, just one after the other and other and other. Everybody was doing that shit, too. Everybody's trying to do the helicopter kick, but his just looks so good. The way he twists, and then his body goes, and then he turns his body, and then the lower body goes. He perfected that great. That's one that you always wanted to see him do in the movies, in some form, was that damn kick or some kind of cool kick.
I'm surprised you guys didn't get hurt when you were kids imitating this movie.
We did! That's what I mean. That's...
Like severely hurt. When you guys were talking about like trying to break bricks and everything, it's kind of surprising no one broke their hand.
Well, I mean, we used to. Well, the thing is, I mean, we hurt our knuckles, but we used to also play Bloody Knuckles, and I'm sure you played that. Did you ever play Bloody Knuckles?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, damn, yeah, you get that.
Hell no, because the one guy wanted to play looked like he would stab himself with, you know, rusty staples, beaten up and bloodied. He was already hitting puberty. He had really bad BO, but he was real friendly. But hell no, I ain't playing Bloody Knuckles.
Yeah, so yeah, we hurt ourselves. We imitated everything in that movie from the dim mocking each other. And kids are stupid as shit. Yes, we were doing the nut punches. The only move we never wanted to try because it did freak us out was the breaking of, like you said, the shin bone when it popped out. We never wanted to play of kicking towards, you know, downward like that. Never imitated that move. But we did, you know, we're sitting there doing the jump helicopter kicks in the air, trying to do that shit, seeing who could do it the best. That movie was just, oh, God, what a time to grow up in the 80s when that movie was out and all the action movies and beating the hell out of each other. How fun.
Simpler times. Simpler times. You didn't have to worry about people being offended and reporting your parents or anything.
Exactly. Like I said, kids could be kids and just do some crazy stuff, and I missed that. I missed it from the 80s, from, like you said, Van Damme to then Seagal, so, you know, and then it's like, where are the action stars nowadays? I can't think of any. Where are they at?
Vin Diesel, man, stealing cars and calling himself Triple X and being in a bunch of other failed franchises that can't get off the ground unless he's stealing cars.
I miss it. I miss it. And that's when I found, hold on a second. Let's see. Charles Pelham said you guys should do Revenge of the Ninja. That movie is awesome. Yeah. Trust me, Charles.
I haven't seen that movie in over 20 years.
We got there's tons of stuff, Charles. There'll be days where we might double up some movies. We got a lot of good stuff, but that's a great suggestion, man. Appreciate that. But, no, like I said, that's what was sad is I remembered we were always so excited to see the new Van Damme movie, new Seagal movie. And then eventually they weren't popping up in the theaters no more. And then you'd see, oh, my God, something came right to VHS. Remember, before DVD, right to VHS? What's this? And you watch it, you're like, what was wrong with that movie? Something was off. And then you see another, and it's like, damn, they became cursed to straight to, you know, VHS then DVD. It's like no more theater stuff, and the movies just lost that magic. You know, it's like you said, it's just the studios behind it. I mean, maybe not good directing, not enough money. It's just, oh man, I was so sad to see when they're just both of them, their movies went to right to it like that. Damn, that sucked.
Yeah, I remember when.
That kind of happened to everybody. Like Arnold, Stallone, you know, it's like Stop or My Mom Will Shoot and Junior and things are coming out. And you're like, what's happening here? It to me, it was like, it was almost like action, like horror died off. Probably you could say like there at the late 80s and had that resurgence when Scream came out. And then like action movies sort of just sort of died off. a couple of years after that. It was kind of weird how that happened. I don't like. What do you guys think may have changed there? Do you think it's just the audience perspective of it? Like they've just moved on to something else? Because I can't remember once those died off, sort of like what took its place as far as like popularity movie wise.
Well, you know what's funny? I was going to say, as for that time, it seemed like there started. You're right. You were saying Scream. Then I know it was the I Know What You Did Last Summer. It seemed like they were starting to trying to do these kid teens horror movies where even our horror characters were kicked to the side in you know, place of, you know, kids wearing outfits and being the killers or some other dork or I don't know. Things just changed. But JSP, at least for nowadays, I'll agree. He said nowadays, he says the action movies, he said, has been replaced by the comic book superhero movie. I agree. You're right. That's what's happened nowadays. At least, you know, in this time, you know, it's been going on for a while with the Iron Mans and then the Thors, Incredible Hulks, all those. And but, yeah, but right after the time of Van Damme and Seagal, damn, I couldn't really tell you. Like I said, unless it was just some of those teeny bopper horror movies, I don't know. There was just no more action stars. It's.
Well, I mean, their box office draws too, because I had looked up stuff about that a long time ago. Because I broke my heart when I saw Legionnaire in my local Blockbuster. I'm thinking, wait a sec, Van Damme just put a movie out in theaters. What the hell is this? It's like I never heard of this. I'm like, just like this is because at that point I knew that straight to video stuff usually meant it was shit.
Like The Quest. I hated The Quest. Oh, God. It's like he's trying to take...
The movie itself, it's not great. However,
it's borrowing stuff from other ones he did, I think.
Well, the typical tournament thing, and, you know, and it's and that's what was really intriguing to me when I saw it, you know, was it was a tournament and getting to see Van Damme, you know, take on all these various fighters, which is the only thing, only reason I watched that movie anymore. So, no, it's not a... You could even say it's a pretty dull movie. It's a drawn out movie, even though it's only like an hour and a half. But that was that, and then I started seeing Seagal's films were going straight to video, and then Wesley Snipes' film started going straight to video, and then sure enough, I saw Stallone had done a few straight to videos. I think Detox and Avenging Angelo, which if they came out in theaters, maybe it was like limited release. But I remember seeing them. In the video store, never seen any advertisement, no announcements or anything like that. And I thought, oh my God, Stallone's doing straight to video now too.
Yeah, that's sad to see.
Like, you know, towards the end of their career, they were doing films that just weren't bringing in lots of money. Like with Stallone, he had done Get Carter, which is a good movie. Van Damme had done Double Team, The Quest, Knock Off. Seagal had done, of course, Seagal was packing on the pounds, which certainly didn't help. You know, his you know, call to action.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's another reason for Seagal. First, I want to say to the Jake Juggalo that's in the chat room, thanks for joining us. We all know you, buddy, so thanks for finally catching a live one with us here. But Seagal, I remember, he started having, you remember his movies as they started progressing, which were still good and action-packed, he started having messages about environment and stuff.
Yeah.
And while they were true, what he was talking about, studios weren't liking that. They're like, we're not going to have you keep talking about all this environment stuff. If you do, we're not going to be backing any more of your movies. And one of his last movies he had that could have just made it to theater but didn't was his, The Patriot. Not the Mel Gibson one, but he has The Patriot. And that one had something about something that was going on. And because he did that, bam, that was the first movie I seen of his that went right to VHS. And ever since, all this stuff was there. I think I know, damn it, I hate when I forget something. There was a movie he had where it did go to the theater, but I don't know how good it did, and then it went back to basically his VHS DVD stuff.
Oh, was it Exit Wounds with DMX?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, thank you. That was it. That was the movie he did to try to resurge his career or something back in the theaters, and I don't know how well that did, but yeah, after that, wow. I mean, you could go into the every 2 months, it seemed like you could go into the the video store and see a new Seagal movie. It's like, my God. And pretty much all just were, I mean, sure, maybe some were pretty good, but nothing like the theater stuff. I don't know why, but just, yeah, they all lost it. It's unfortunate. But yeah, damn it, Bloodsport, this is a movie you can watch anytime and be into it from the beginning to the end. Just, I mean, it is so full of action. I mean, there's, like I said, we talked about that corny little part where the running scene with the music that I don't like, but.
Well, poor corny part. That part does not, I get why you say it, but I don't find it to be awful. Putting or killing a momentum.
Just for me. oh, it just, it took me out of the mood. It had this cornball music and then this goofy way of running and him. It's just forgettable. But yeah, everything else though, you're into basically the whole entire damn movie. So my blood pressure's all worked up, Tom. I have to go back to you because I got worked up there.
Well, no, it's an immortal classic. It's in my top. It's my favorite Van Damme film, along with Kickboxer and Lionheart, in my top three Van Damme films. And still is my favorite martial arts film of all time. It's aged well. As many times as I've watched it, I picked up on editing errors and things like that, which is fine. You know, it doesn't take me out of the movie because I enjoy it so much. Because the movie as a whole still is a blast. I get energized and excited from the music and the various fight scenes, which some people will look at this movie and think that it's very vanilla because it's not some of the crazy, you know, Hong Kong cinema fight scenes and stuff like that, which that's fine.
Not supposed to be. This is supposed to be, I mean, based off of true events, or this is just supposed to be underground fighting. One quick thing, I just wanted to mention to somebody in the chat room, the Jake Juggalo said, why does Jackson look so much like Braun Strowman? I never thought of that. I didn't think about how they look similar. Guess in the face they do a little bit with their nose, beard, and their eyes. Never thought about that, but thanks for putting that into my head now. And Charles
Tyler doesn't know who Braun Strowman is, I bet.
No.
He's some big, he's a real big dude in wrestling. And Charles Pelham said that Knock Off was the last Van Damme movie that he saw in his theaters. So
yeah, that was
unfortunate.
Damn movie.
Yeah, he was not a good one. So, I mean, you know, it's weird when you talk about the top Van Damme movies. I mean, I love Bloodsport, love Kickboxer, love Lionheart. Gosh.
Hard Target.
Yeah, Hard
Target. Hard Target's probably, man. It'd probably go Kickboxer, Hard Target, Bloodsport, top three for me, I think.
You know
if
what?
I had to rank them.
I was going to say, you might not like this. It was my kind of Van Damme version of a Die Hard, but I like Sudden Death. I like Sudden Death.
Sudden Death's amazing. No, Tyler was like, I don't know, that movie kind of sucked. I'm like, dude, you got to go back and watch it because it's amazing. And he went and watched it again. And sure as shit, he's like, oh, you're right. This is great. And then he bought the movie poster for it.
Girls, I love it. I love Sudden Death. I love that damn movie.
But when he wasn't doing the traditional Van Damme stuff, so that's why I couldn't get into it as a kid. I just thought, this is not, you know, not what I signed up for when I rented it. So it was just, you know, and that fortunately Nathan was pushy about it, and I gave it another shot, and I liked it so much, I went and bought the movie poster that weekend.
That's awesome. That's amazing. There's so, damn it, JSP, why did you have to say something in the chat room? Because now he just mentioned Universal Soldier and Time Cop, and yes, I love them both too. Damn, I forgot there were so many good ones. Oh, man. Jesus, like I said, oh, so many Van Damme movies. The ones that basically, yeah, were in theaters were, God, they were almost all good. I could think of all were good. We just when it hit VHS DVD is when it just went downhill. Like it wasn't there even, isn't there recently supposed to be a recent Kickboxer movie that he's in, but he's not the main pretend star, or what is that about?
Just pretend it never happened, Joe.
Okay, I've never seen it, so it's not even worth watching.
Keep it like that. Keep it like that.
I watched I think 3/4 of it, and I ended up I think either falling asleep or turning it off. I mean, it is what it is. It's basically just a rehash of Kickboxer.
Mm. I wish I could remember the name of the
movie. I mean, Batista is like the villain in it. So, if anyone has an interest in any of that. But, I mean, it's not like the worst thing ever made. But I guess if you're looking at it in the context of they're kind of just remaking it and it's not as good, then, yeah, it's pretty bad. But, I'd say if you wanted to have a few drinks, kick back some drinks and watch it, you'd probably have an all right time, maybe.
All right. I wish I could remember because my memory is just so bad. I seen a few months back, there was this movie I didn't even expect Van Damme to be in. It was some movie that was supposed to be kind of like a comedy where these people crash on an island and Van Damme happens to be there.
The jungle?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it was just, he's in there, it just has a comic effect, but it was actually funny, and they made reference to Orko in it and something else, but I actually got a kick out of that movie, but it's not a Van Damme movie per se. He just popped up in it and had these silly moments, and for whatever reason it worked. That was on Netflix. I don't know if it was a Netflix exclusive, but yeah, it was on Netflix.
You pretty much guaranteed that Tyler's not going to watch that.
Oh, no.
I've already heard of it. I know what it's about, and no, I have no intentions of watching it.
No. Yeah, he wouldn't watch it. I just watch it because I'm going through Netflix, and I'm like, okay, because there's days when I'm in my comedy mood, and I'm like, okay, let's hope this is good. You can always tell. There's certain movies, though, you know, right when you're seeing the description, like, forget it. This one, I was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. But there's just some. Oh, speaking of a bad movie, one that. There's a movie that just popped up on Netflix called Bright. And it stars Will Smith.
Yes.
Holy dear God, was this a hot mess. I mean, it's supposed to be an alternate type of Earth reality where we live with ogres, orcs. Orcs, elves, fairies, there's magic. It just, whatever formula was meant for that movie, it didn't work. It didn't work for me. I mean, more power to somebody liked it, but whew. If you want to try something, anybody out there that's listening, if you want to give it a quick shot, maybe you'll love it, try Bright on Netflix.
Why the hell would you just said it was a hot mess?
Because like I told you before, sometimes I want people to see a hot mess when I'm saying it. So they don't think I'm full. They're like, give it a shot. And if you don't like it, you can shove right after a couple minutes. If you want to intrigue and just abuse yourself, go ahead and watch more. But that was a bad movie.
Some people like watching bad things, too. Like, it kind of goes back to like this.
B-movies from the 80s and 70s is one thing. Watching something that Will Smith is doing, I almost feel like that doesn't come off as like a fun B-movie that you can have fun with. That comes off as like, God, man, this guy can't stop making bad stuff.
Yeah, well, I already read that there's like 11... apparently Netflix actually has like ratings of how many... Apparently 11 million people had checked out that movie. I don't know if that's to completion. I don't know how they stat track all that stuff, but... I watched the trailer for it. Like, and it's from the same guy that did Suicide Squad, so.
Oh, hell with that.
If somebody asked if, Jake in the chat room said if any of you seen Jean-Claude Van Johnson? I don't know, is that a joke?
No, that's the Amazon series.
Yeah, it's a show that's on Amazon Prime. Because that actually popped up, so, you know, I was going to say later on the episode, if anyone wanted to check out Bloodsport and you have an Amazon Prime account, it's on there to stream for free. But also the show that he's talking about is on there as well.
Okay.
And it basically, from what I gather from the premise, is all of the movies that Van Damme did were just sort of a front, and he's actually like a secret agent. So
that's weird.
Who knows? Watch the first episode just to see what the time is, like how it works.
Well, speaking of bad movies, real quick, Nathan, did you watch Axum or did you
get no, I haven't watched Axum yet.
That's bad. That's so bad. Yeah. It's good. You're gonna have to get drunk.
Yeah, no, I definitely will probably need to, because I've seen like some other people review it. And it just, I'm going to need alcohol for that one.
You
for
a sure. lot of it.
That, Maybe I'll that, like, bring it over and get Tyler to watch it with me, too.
There you go. And get Thanksgiving, too. Watch those, too. And get Tyler to watch Thanksgiving with you. Tyler's got to come over one time. No. You just got to sit him out there into a chair. That's so freaking horrible. I don't know how we'll got on that podcast. There you go. Okay, well, Tyler, let's go wrap it up and your final thoughts on this, one of the best action movies, fighting movies they ever did, Bloodsport.
Man, it's. I mean, we're here to just celebrate it and praise the hell out of it, and I hope that's what people got from this. You know, I'm always intrigued to talk to Bloodsport with people, to know that people are fans of Chong Li and Van Damme and the helicopter kick, and can quote it from OK USA to You're Next and various things, and it's a movie that, I mean, hell, we get Joe to get a different setup. We need to do a commentary for Bloodsport as well. So this is a movie I definitely would love for us to revisit with a commentary at some point, or maybe even other discussions. But I other than going into even more detail, which, you know, that's the good thing about this podcast. We can always go back and revisit films and stuff like that if we wanted to. But, you know, I'm quite happy with what we had to say about the film, because, you know, we all love it. We all come from, you know, different kind of background, so to speak, as to how we saw it and you know, what kind of impact it had on us. But everybody, all three of us like it. I mean, I mean, I kind of find it hard to find anything bad to say about the film. If you're going to sit there and say that the music's cheesy or that's cheesy and stuff like that, I mean, like, that may be so, but, you know, you can't.
Still a great movie.
It's a kick-ass movie. It's a movie that symbolizes machismo. You know, that's, if you want to look at, you know, a time capsule film of, like, what it was like to aspire to be a tough guy of the 80s, you know, especially from a young boy's perspective, that's one of the films you would look at would be Bloodsport, because that you just saw Van Damme as, you know, a guy you would just love, a muscular guy who could do spin kicks in the air and helicopter kicks and splits and taking down giant guys. And just, it was just like, God, man, this guy's the coolest man on the planet. You know, it was just very, very impactful for me on as a kid. I really did. I had such a giant wave of a fanboy for Van Damme in the early to late 90s when I was renting his films and going to the theaters to see him. It was a very fun time of my life. I really was so excited over Van Damme.
Yeah, I remember going to the theaters to see that movie and all his movies. It was an event, you know, when they would come out. It was time, you know, me and my dad, time to go to the theater and go ahead and see the new Van Damme movie. Just love experiencing people in the, you know, the crowd cheering at parts and screaming and into it, the oohs, ahs. You know, something about the atmosphere of being surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of fans who are just eating up what they're seeing in front of them. That's what makes those movies, you know, even that much greater when you can see them in the theaters. I wish they could do, you know, because they sometimes do stuff for older movies in theaters, bringing them back for, like, special night appearance. I love it if they just do a Van Damme marathon in the theaters one time. Special night. Have people come in. Oh, man, I know I do.
My buddy Matt Hilton said that they did, I think, a screening of Lionheart in Los Angeles, and Van Damme and Sheldon Lettich, the guy who directed and wrote it, the guy who, you know, demeaned me over Facebook. They did like a Q&A with the fans after the screening of the film.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, damn. That would have been awesome to see in person.
Oh, I know.
I was going to say, probably have to go to California to find anything like that, really. Yeah. Cause,
California?
Yeah. California.
Yeah. Yeah, all three of us will start getting, me and Nathan will get a lunchbox, and we'll go to Ohio to get Joe, and he'll get his lunchbox. And we'll just keep wandering the roads until we get to California.
Being mugged down the way multiple times for whatever money we have.
Arcade, or we can find like an old, you know, just try and hustle people in arcades, and we'll all just pretend that we've I don't know, I'm trying to come up with something that would be less offensive or something like that. Can't really sit and say I lost my twin sister in a swimming accident or something like that.
It'd be fine. And Joe could wear a Spider-Man jacket. It'd be great.
Yeah, Joe walked around. Joe could be Jimmy. Joe can be Jimmy because Joe could wear the mask and the Spider-Man jacket, carrying a lunchbox. Clearly, there's something wrong with this guy. So me and Nathan could be the hustlers. You know, we'll end up teaming up with like some cute girl along the way there. You know,
there you go. It'd be great. Oh Jesus! Oh man! And
going along trying to get Joe and take him back to Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, there you go. You just gave all the parts unknown. Now everybody knows where I live. Son of a gun! If that's one of the locations I'm at, I don't know. Yeah, I always have different spots right where I say I'm at, anyways. But well, like I said, next week we'll be starting in the new year. Of course, obviously, we want everybody that's listening and chatting to have a happy and safe new year, definitely. But when we come back next year, I want to start off with Stranger Things. Talk about something that takes you back to when you were a kid in the 80s. We're going to do some Stranger Things discussion, season one and season two. We'll just battle it all together. So if any of you guys are fans of that, you're going to enjoy that. If you've never watched it, get onto Netflix and do what Tyler does, do what Nathan does, and binge watch Stranger Things season one and two. I took time with mine. You know, I have patience, unlike these two who have to just binge it and suck it up in 2 days. But
you know, if you walk into a crowd of Stranger Things fans, they'd shove you in the first locker they found. Even if they weren't in a school, they would find a locker to shove you in, because you sound like such a dork when you sit there and say, I watch one episode a week. You know,
I take my time. I know.
Books and take your lunch money while we're at it.
I know how to enjoy things. It's like you got to take it slow. It's like just like in the days when you'd watch, you know, like an episode of any show that you still see on TV. You watch one episode per week. It's like, why just gobble up all?
Don't watch, you know, cable TV like that. So I don't have
to Why gobble up your food?
Commercials for Geico and car insurance. What the hell is it with this nation's, you know, hard on for car insurance commercials? God, you can't watch anything with Allstate and Geico and Geico again. The progressive.
Tyler,
so funny.
Enjoy the meal.
I don't think it's so much that people have a hard on for insurance companies, so much as the insurance companies pay a shitload of money to promote their companies on television.
People are like,
a lot.
I just love those progressive commercials. It's so funny. The slow girl, she's so funny because she does an Elvis impression. Oh, she's so funny. And the Geico commercial's like, hey, I just save money on car insurance. They've done it again.
Well, think about the days of the MYP cartoon. Now, I know Tyler, you know, of course, impatient, and a lot of people aren't. If you like it, cool. But I wouldn't have wanted, like, let's say,
deal with my car insurance rant.
Hey, hold up, because I'm back to my rant about how I don't binge watch. Now, picture if MYP would have been available to us, like how it is for Netflix, to where here you go, binge watch it. I would have hated to watch the whole season of the MYP Masters of the Universe in a day or two. And then have nothing to look forward to next week and the next week and the next week or anything or the days after. Like I said, I like building up. It's like, enjoy it, because once it's done, it's like, oh, damn. Like, oh, I can go back and watch the rerun. Sure, but
enjoy being built up for the episode The Island from the MYP series, or being built up for the episode Ties That Bind, or being built up for the really pissant, you know, lame-ass finale or a second part of Rise of the Snake Men. You know, no, I would have much rather preferred than to watch it at the comfort of my own leisure time and realize, okay, that sucked. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the next one. Instead of waiting and waiting and waiting.
There's insurance commercials that everyone has a hard on for.
What?
What? You know, what? You say that? There must have been a gap there, or there must have been a cutoff between everyone.
All I heard was Nathan said I had a hard on for commercials.
Yeah, for those insurance commercials.
Oh, God, yeah. That's so funny, man.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, that's it. Tyler, why don't you tell everybody where they can go before we wrap this up?
Hey, wait. I don't get to give any closing thoughts on Bloodsport. I mean, no, it's fine, Joe. Fine. You guys should see you guys next week. Bye.
Nathan's like, fuck off, everyone. See you later. No, I meant to get back to you. I was going to run it back to you again. But go ahead. You do, Nathan, before.
Yeah. Sure, Joe.
Like, he's like, yeah, sure. He's sitting there flipping me off and everything. And oh, go ahead, Nate. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's all right. It's easy to forget about that when we're talking about hard-ons and insurance commercials, and you know all that shit. I guess I got to thank my dad, really, because without him, I wouldn't have seen any of those movies growing up. And you know. Seeing Kickboxer first, and then like after seeing that, going back to the video store the following week, it's like, oh, here's Bloodsport, and you know, a couple years later, oh, you know, here's Double Impact, here's all this stuff. Like without him, like being super excited about it, I never would have been exposed to those movies until much later in life. Tyler was talking about how Van Damme, you said he edited the film, correct? Like he went back and. Do you think with him doing the editing, that's why there's a lot? Because I noticed it just watching him last night. There's a lot of just shots of him doing splits throughout. Like if it's a montage, like some of it works in the purpose of it, and then some of it's just he's there doing a split, looking off into the distance. Do you I think we got to have more splits here?
I think a lot of it too. I mean that's what made him set apart from other. Action here is that here's someone who can do actual splits on command and can do
it. Yeah, I mean, it is his trademark. Yeah. I was just kind of curious with it being one of his first like mainstream breakout because that was his breakout role, correct?
Yeah.
Like, do you think
Ender and Forever Monaco? I mean, and breaking where he had a cameo in that I wouldn't have considered those to be No, Bloodsport was his breakout and the trademark helicopter kick and split. I mean, that's what you're kind of selling, that this guy can do it. He does it so frequently, and he looks cool doing it. I mean,
yeah, I just noticed that there was a lot of scenes of him, like, doing splits. And when you go and you're talking about how he had went back and kind of edited the film, I wonder if that was kind of more his say-so than anything else. Like, if that...
Him and Sheldon, I think, worked together on that because Sheldon worked on Bloodsport with him, too. He didn't direct it. But I believe they worked on the script because Sheldon worked with actual Frank Dukes and getting the story and everything. So that may have just been like, we're trying to help sell the public on this new guy and what he can do. And it's probably why there were so many shots of the split, because it's done a lot in the film.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of amusing going back and rewatching. I'm like, oh, all right, there's another scene of him doing a split. And I guess the only other thing I wanted to say about Bloodsport, other than, you know, if you haven't seen it, it's on Amazon Prime. If you got Prime, go stream that tonight. I liked the one of the cool things about the last fight is, you know, how they changed the scenery. They changed the mat. They lifted it up. I thought that was, like, a really cool, like, because to me, I'm like, all right, this is, like, the final boss.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I agree.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. And speaking of editing, I mean, you're right. What if sitting there, the thing he edits out is, maybe we originally did see the girl. She was going to be naked. But he's like, no, we can't have your titties in this movie. Let's just show a picture of my ass real quick. That's what most people are going to want to see. So Van Damme
probably underwear.
Like, yeah, thanks, Van Damme. That's what everybody wanted to see. We didn't want to see her. We wanted to see you. Yeah, like I said, egomaniac, maybe just editing how he wants. Damn.
Well, I mean, at least Tyler's mom enjoyed it.
Yeah,
because he would show his ass in several films, so all we had to say was, "Hey, mom, here's his ass."
Question: was that actress that was in the movie? Do you remember her being in any other movies? Was she maybe nude, topless?
The only other thing I've seen her in was she was in an episode of 21 Jump Street, and she was Johnny's love interest. Like, holy shit, that's Leah Ayres from Bloodsport. But she cut all her hair off, and she looked all boyish, even though I probably.
Just to clarify, Joe was asking that question for a friend, if she's been like naked and anything.
I don't know if she has, and people know about it, please let us know.
Please let us know, please.
Yeah.
We're begging you.
Aside from this, Joe has no other access to the internet.
I get it. It's like back in the days when you look up nude celebrities on the early days of the internet, you know, Leah Ayres nude, you know. And then someone's like photoshopped her on like Gina Jameson's body, and she's like this, like completely, you know. But you use it anyway because you're so desperate to see her naked. Like, I don't think that's really her, but I think
it works.
Lotion.
Yeah, it's like it's not, but it works. It helps.
It's a visual. It doesn't work so great, but hey, I'm just trying to get the job done here.
That's great. Oh, Christ. All right, Tyler, tell everybody where to go before we wrap it up.
You can check all our episodes available on YouTube, and all episodes available to download on Podbean. All episodes are posted on Joe's Facebook, Nathan's Facebook, and my Facebook, and Doug as well. We're all available on Facebook to reach out to us and let us know thoughts or questions. You can check out the Beyond Retro Facebook page, where all the episodes are posted on there as well. Episodes are weekly, and you know, don't never hesitate to reach out to us if there's something retro or beyond retro that you'd like us to discuss. It's always fun to get people's thoughts. So until next week, guys.
Hey, your pal, Dick.
Say something next or do something, you know. I'm doing my Van Damme send-off.
Exactly like that. Exactly. Like, oh, man, I knew he wasn't going to show up, and he was already there on the plane. He's ready. They didn't think it. Yeah, see, just when you think it's over, it's not over. Because Van Damme, he promised them. He said he was going to be there, and he was there. So he was there at the plane, top of the plane. He did his little send-off to the girl.
Show up here, Joe.
What's that? I'm wrapping it up. See, you're right. So that's how they had to do that. But yeah, so again, thank you everybody in the chat room for joining us. We appreciate all your feedback and, of course, the topics that you said and the movies. We're going to take that into our bank right here, our memory bank. And yeah, Happy New Year, JSP, and everybody else. We hope you have a great one and be safe out there. Don't get too plastered like Nathan's going to do.
I'm going to get plastered. I'm going to watch Axum and
Thanksgiving.
Bright.
Bright.
I need to watch Elf again because we didn't do a commentary for that. It surprised me last week. I thought we were doing Elf, and we ended up doing Garfield. I'm like,
exactly. I'm running out.
By the way, Nathan has watched Jaws: The Revenge.
I still have to do that. But
I'm telling you, he's already beat you to the punch here.
He beat me to the punch, you're right. I'll have to do it. But yeah, Nathan, yes, you'll have to get plastered for Axum. But the thing is, Axum, we know that's bad. But for Bright, really get plastered, because it's annoying that this was supposed to be good, I guess. And it wasn't. So yeah, really get hammered. Then give us your thoughts and watch Thanksgiving. So again, thank you for everybody joining us in the chat room and listening. And we'll catch you guys next time.
See you guys.
Later.